Chapter 4. Ready for Prime Time. Takeaway. When you take the time to observe how your energy fluctuates over the course of the day, you can work on your highest impact tasks during your biological prime time, when you're able to bring the most energy and focus to them. In a similar way, tracking how you spend your time over a week will let you see how intelligently you use your time and how well you focus throughout the day. If identifying your highest impact tasks and your daily focus were enough to become perfectly productive, this audiobook could end right here. But our story is just getting started, and not only because I have an 80,000 word count to hit. It's because, despite our best intentions to work on the right things, we don't, for countless reasons. All these reasons involve either how you spend your time, attention, or energy. And I definitely don't count myself out of this group. Almost every day I waste time, become distracted, have trouble focusing, and feel low on energy. Thanks to my research and practice, I may be better than most, but I would be lying if I said I was perfectly productive, and so would any other productivity expert out there. Chances are you're in the same boat. Despite your best intentions, you don't have as much time, energy, or attention as you would like. Or perhaps you procrastinate, part two of the book, spend too much time on low-impact tasks that get thrown your way, part three, don't spend your time intelligently, part four, feel overwhelmed, part five, are constantly distracted and can't focus, part six, or don't properly cultivate how much energy you have, part seven. From what I've experienced, this is perfectly normal. Throughout the rest of the audiobook, I'll provide you with the absolute best ways I've uncovered to better manage your time, attention, and energy. But before you learn to better manage the three ingredients of productivity, it's essential that you establish one final important piece of groundwork and take stock of how well you manage your time, attention, and energy already. The following two productivity experiments measured how I managed my time, attention, and energy. They produced valuable intel into how I was doing. One experiment measured my energy over the course of the day, and another diligently tracked how I spent my time and attention. Your biological prime time. As you may already be aware, your energy levels can fluctuate quite a bit over the course of the day. If you're an early bird, you have more energy early in the morning. If you're a night owl, you have more energy late at night. After you drink a coffee, you may feel a sudden energy boost, and then an energy crash later on. And if you're like many people, your energy levels may crash in the early afternoon after your energy levels spike after a large lunch. I see energy as the fuel that you burn over the course of the day to become productive. As such, it's critically important that you manage your energy well. If you have no fuel in the tank to do good work, or you're burnt out because you don't cultivate your energy levels throughout the day by eating well or getting enough sleep, your productivity will plummet, regardless of how well you manage your time or attention. To get to the bottom of how my energy levels fluctuated over the course of a typical day during my project, I designed an experiment where I kept a log every hour of the day to assess how much energy I had for 3 weeks. During those weeks, I also did the following. I cut out all caffeine and alcohol from my diet. I ate as little sugar as possible. I ate small, frequent meals throughout the day for fuel. I woke up and fell asleep naturally, without setting an alarm. The reasoning behind this productivity experiment was simple. By tracking the natural ebbs and flows of my energy over the course of a few weeks, with as few stimulants as possible, I would get an accurate picture of how much energy I naturally had throughout the day. I would then be able to take steps to become more productive. For example, I would be able to work on my most important tasks when I naturally had the most energy, or take steps to increase my body's and brain's energy when my energy naturally dipped. Everyone is wired differently, and everyone has different energy patterns throughout the day, depending on how their biological clock is set. I wanted to get to the bottom of how my clock was set in this experiment. After 3 weeks of inputting how much energy I had every hour, an interesting pattern emerged. Every day between the hours of 10 a.m. to noon, and from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., I had more energy than any other time of the day. Different experts refer to this high peak time period by different names, but my favorite is your biological prime time, BPT, a phrase coined by Sam Carpenter in his book Work the System. Taking the time to observe how your energy fluctuates over the course of the day, you can work on your highest impact tasks during your BPT, when you are able to bring the most energy and focus to them, and work on your lower impact tasks when your energy levels dip. The most productive people don't just manage their time well, they also manage their energy and attention well. Rearranging your day around when you have the most energy is one simple way to work smarter instead of just harder. Plus, research shows that your brain's prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain responsible for creative thinking, is the most active immediately after you wake up. That means that even if you're low on energy after you wake up, if you do a lot of creative work, you may want to consider working in the morning instead of when you have the most energy, focus, and motivation. To me, it also feels incredible to tackle your most important task at the beginning of the day because you'll feel unstoppable for the rest of the day. After determining my biological prime time, I began to rearrange what I worked on over the course of the day accordingly. Every day between the hours of 10 a.m. and noon and 5 and 8 p.m., I worked on my highest impact and most meaningful tasks. Conversely, when my energy levels dipped throughout the day, I worked on my lowest impact tasks or invested in a lasting energy boost like drinking a cup of green tea and took time to recharge. You may not have complete control over what you work on and when you work on it, but whenever you do, choosing the smartest time to work on your high and low impact tasks can make a huge difference in your productivity. For example, if you have the most energy at noon, why would you break for lunch then instead of waiting until you actually need to refuel? We'll do a deep dive into how to take advantage of when you have the most energy later on, but getting a handle on your body's natural rhythm is one of the best ways I've found to work smarter instead of just harder. Of course, your energy is just one of the three ingredients of productivity. Becoming aware of how intelligently you spend your time and attention is just as important. A day in your life. Although I've never been much of a procrastinator, I've always been a dawdler. Before taking a shower in the morning, I dawdle and tidy up things throughout the house. Before heading out the door to run errands, I often open up a book to read a few pages, snack a bit, or get lost in my thoughts. I don't waste a ton of time in general, and I almost always get done what I intend to get done, but I love punctuating my productivity with short bursts of dawdling throughout the day. Dawdling helps me decompress, transition from one activity to the next, and even come up with better ideas. Chapter 17. Sure, it frustrates the hell out of people around me. Virtually every woman in my life, including my mom, sister, and girlfriend, has at some point told me to, quote, quit my dawdling, but I love it. Much like calculating my biological prime time, tracking how I spent my time every hour for a week was simple in theory, but quite tedious in practice. To do so, I printed out a sheet of paper that looked much like an Excel spreadsheet, with a grid with the hours of the day in rows and the days of the week as columns. Before getting to the results of my time log, it's worth talking briefly about why keeping a time log is so powerful. I personally don't maintain a time log very often, largely because doing so takes so much effort. But every few months or so, I make an effort to track how I spend my time to see how intelligently I'm using what limited time I have. Of the three ingredients every day that will make you more productive, your time is the most limited. While there are a multitude of ways to get more focus and energy, there's no way to get more time. To spend your time more intelligently on your highest impact and most meaningful tasks, you have to be aware of how you're already spending your time so you can make adjustments. For example, you might value personal fitness and spirituality and yet spend 0 minutes over the course of the week on either one. Or you might decide that training your team is one of your most important work tasks and again, spend no time on the task throughout the week. Without becoming aware of how you currently spend your time, it's hard to reflect on whether you're acting in ways that match up with what your values and highest impact tasks are. Keeping a time log is a great way to find your starting point, your base level, to better access how often you work on your highest impact and most meaningful tasks. A time log is also a great way to determine how well you focus throughout the day. If you check in every hour to jot down what you're doing and find that you consistently put important things off, you may need to invest in battling procrastination, Chapter 5, working out your attention muscle, Chapter 18, or reducing the number of distractions around you, Chapter 19. Laura Vander Kam, the time-taming author of I Know How She Does It and 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think, says that keeping a time log is a very useful tool to get a map of how you're actually spending your time. Quote, "It can seem like a tedious and boring task, but it can free up literally hours in your week," she told me. The key is to find a system that works for you. Naturally, since you're logging how you spend your time every hour, or half hour, or 15 minutes, keeping a time log also makes you accountable to yourself every hour, instead of holding yourself accountable at the end of the day when you reflect back on whether you accomplished what you intended to. Studies show that when you keep a food log, you double the amount of weight you lose. A similar effect happens after you begin to maintain a time log. Vander Kam usually records her time in 30-minute chunks every quarter, for about a week each time. She says it's important to pick a typical week to record and to use the method you're most comfortable with, whether it's a simple notebook, a spreadsheet on your computer, or a productivity app. Quote, "Even though this is a good tool for finding out where you're wasting time, it can also help you see that dreaded tasks you've been putting off actually don't take as long as you think," she says. "This is good for getting past procrastination. I conducted my first time log halfway through my project, and I think you may be a bit surprised by the results. But before getting to that, it's time for one final challenge to help you lay the groundwork while you read the rest of the productivity project. The Prime Time Challenge. Estimated time to do the challenge? About 1 minute every hour for at least a week. Energy and focus required? 1 out of 10. Value? 9 out of 10. Fun? 3 out of 10. What you'll get out of it? An understanding of how well you manage the three ingredients of productivity, so you know your starting point and can make adjustments to get more done every day. The fourth challenge I have for you will pay for itself many times over. Track your energy to determine your biological prime time, and keep a time log to evaluate how well you manage your time and attention. Energy. If you want to truly observe your body's natural rhythms, before keeping a log of how much energy you have, you should 1. Cut out caffeine, alcohol, sugar, and as many other stimulants as possible from your diet. If it takes you a few days to adjust, you may want to consider throwing out your first few days' worth of data, because they may skew your results. 2. Eat small, frequent meals throughout the day. And 3. If you can, wake up and fall asleep naturally, without the aid of an alarm clock or smartphone. Cutting out caffeine and alcohol is probably the most difficult thing I'll ask you to do in one of these challenges, but to get a good measurement of when you naturally have the most energy, it's almost essential. I see drinking alcohol as a way of borrowing energy from tomorrow, and because you invariably crash after a caffeine high, drinking caffeine is a way of borrowing energy from later on in the day. To get a consistent reading on when you're naturally the most productive, you should cut both out for your measurements. And though sugar can serve as a temporary boost every once in a while, from an energy and productivity standpoint, it's not helpful in the long run. I personally recommend cutting out all three, starting a week before you start to track your energy levels. Your biological prime time doesn't change much over time, and the knowledge of when you naturally have the most energy will pay dividends for years to come. To track your energy levels, as well as your time, you simply need a sheet of paper that lists the hours of the day and the days of the week. To save you some time, I've put together a chart that has everything you need to track your time and energy levels for 1 week. Just head over to the website for this audiobook, productivityprojectbook.com/TPP, to download and print off the chart. Time. Every hour on the hour. In addition to noting how much energy you have on a scale of 1 to 10, make a note of 1. What you are doing, and 2. How many minutes you procrastinated over the hour, an estimate. Here are a few tips I think you will find helpful for this challenge. In addition to tracking how you spend your time with a pen and paper, if you work a lot of time on the computer, There are some great apps that will let you track how you spend your time there too. If you have the freedom to install programs on your work computer, I highly recommend RescueTime. RescueTime.com. It's free for the Mac, PC, and Android. And Toggle, TOGGL.com. It's free for the PC, Mac, iPhone, and Android. RescueTime tracks your time for you automatically in the background, and Toggle lets you track your time manually. If you find yourself procrastinating, don't worry, that's normal. According to the procrastination researchers I've interviewed, everybody procrastinates at times, including some of the most renowned procrastination researchers from around the world. Don't be too hard on yourself when you write down how long you procrastinate, and don't be afraid to be honest. If the thought of tracking your time and energy for a week or more puts you off, try tracking your time and energy for just a few days. Once you begin to observe some patterns, I think you'll be encouraged to pursue both further. Personally, I recommend tracking your time for a week and your energy levels for 2 to 3 weeks, if you can. Tracking your time and energy is tedious, I'll grant you, but the return on both activities is huge. So much so that I still track both my time and energy every few months, even though, compared to my initial reading, the return is much smaller. I believe there is incredible value in this activity. This exercise might be, in itself, enough to motivate you to reduce the amount of time that you waste on low-impact tasks. But if it isn't, don't worry. The rest of this audiobook will guide you through some of the best ways I've discovered to better manage your time, attention, and energy. Now that we've laid the groundwork to becoming more productive, let me get to the one thing I've swept under the rug thus far in this audiobook: the results of my first time tracking experiment.